Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
A new season of Bubbler Talk begins today. It's WUWM series where we answer the questions you want to know about your community. And to start off the season, Jimmy Gutierrez digs into a question about Milwaukee's culture. Are we a community of haters?
Bubbler Talk, quenching Milwaukee's thirst for knowledge.
I'm Jimmy Gutierrez, and I want to tell you about a random Thursday afternoon a few months ago. I was stumbling around on Twitter, and I saw a tweet from one of my favorite local follows.
My name is Mia Shea. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin originally.
Mia's tweet was a question that shook me to my 414 core. Is Milwaukee a community of haters? Now, this wasn't the first time I've heard this sentiment. Friends who have left the city for greener pastures talk about it all the time. The way some of us put each other down, or can't, and won't, celebrate each other's wins. My own family has talked about it. About my own family. But I've never heard it posed as such a clear, definitive question. Are we a bunch of haters? Here's where the question started for Mia.
I had posted something in Reddit. I think I was just getting some interesting, like, mixed responses that felt like very gatekeepy, the question I was asking.
She just moved back to the city a few years after college and was looking for recommendations. She says people were being unusually aggressive withholding information, and it got her thinking.
It begs the question, like, on a broader level, is it a social media thing, or is it truly just, like, the people that live here?
I looked into online spaces first, Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, even TikTok, and honestly, it wasn't anything I hadn't seen before. Comment sections gone wild. Not a good intention to be found anywhere from here to the Mississippi. Fact is, our online ecosystem is filled with hate from everywhere. Milwaukee didn't feel special. But the second part of her question.
Or is it truly just like the people that live here?
Every Wisconsin community has its own personality and all shaped by the history, the natural features of the community and the people that live there.
Ryan Ohm is a professor emeritus at UW-Madison. He's done outreach with communities across the state for close to three decades. This thing he's talking about is called geopsychology. It's the idea that places have distinct personalities or DNA. He says there are a few key indicators that make up a place's DNA.
The physical characteristics of the community in terms of, and the physical spatial layout of the city in terms and the socioeconomic aspects in terms of what is the culture of the place, and then how the immigrant population came in and brought their traditions and customs.
On average, geopsychology studies say Milwaukee is more hospitable than much of the country. But Brian says there's another indicator worth considering in Milwaukee's DNA.
Trauma will shape a place. Trauma can take many, many different forms. So, and Chicago is very much shaped by the Chicago fire and the trauma of that event. Social movements, racial tensions that different communities face, and Milwaukee metropolitan region is one of the most segregated regions in the United States. And that creates a level of tension and, you know, difficult issue to deal with, and certainly is part of the personality of a place.
Cities are shaped by their history of police violence, underfunded schools, and redlining that creates poverty in communities of color. This is also Milwaukee's history, or part of our DNA. We're predisposed to feeling slighted. I started asking around, do other people feel like the city is full of haters?
Duh.
This is Danita Graham.
And I'm saying that, like, that's the short version, but absolutely, because you cannot have a total community without some haters. I don't think in totality Milwaukee is a community of haters, but there are some haters within the community.
Danita is a social worker, therapist, consultant, really so many things. And she thinks the reason why some people are haters is because trauma creates ripple effects that take root in the way we think about ourselves. She calls it an impoverished or scarcity mindset.
Where I don't believe anything is possible. I only can believe from the experiences that I've had, that I've seen surrounding me and my nuclear family, neighborhood, school system, through my lived experience.
And Danita says that mindset is contagious.
That incredibly impacts the next generations or surrounding generations of that person. So, for instance, if you have a grandmother who maybe was slighted in kind of in all kinds of ways, seeing the world through a negative lens, maybe had a negative partner or relationship. All of these compounding things were not, she's not so kind. Maybe doesn't have so many positive things to say about achievements that you've made or doesn't show up.
So she's a hater.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Can Love be grandma. Deemed, yes. Grandma can be a hater. And you know what? You seen the hesitancy of me to agree with you, right? That is the lived experience. Recognizing like, oh my God, my grandma, my mom, my dad is a hater. Like, this is my biggest hater.
And knowing this matters. It matters because stepping out of hater nation, as she calls it, starts with self-awareness or a want to do different, do better. And for people she knows, it can take years to do things differently or to make different decisions. So to recap so far, yes, Milwaukee has some haters, but it's as unavoidable living here as drinking lead in our water. We can do better. It just takes time and tools.
All right, I want to share some wise words that someone said to me. It's easier to be a hater when you don't feel good about yourself. You actually said that to me. So can you break down exactly like what you mean there? Because yes, I agree.
That's hilarious. I love that I said that because it's so true. I'm so smart.
This is Gabe Charles, and she is the board president of the Peace Learning Center of Milwaukee.
Another way to define being a hater, right, is you yuck people's yum, right? You want to make them feel bad about themselves so that you feel better about yourself. You don't want to feel intimidated by people, so you bring them down. You don't want to feel like someone's better than you, so you bring them down. And of course, if you're not secure in who you are as a person, that's such a natural response, especially if you haven't been taught to operate in other ways.
At the Peace Learning Center, or PLC, Gabe and her facilitators share other ways to respond, ways to check in with yourself before taking action. She calls these peace tools and peace-building strategies. The center primarily works with students, but the curriculum can be adapted for all different age groups. There is a reason, though, why the PLC starts with kids, and it has to do with what young people are getting and not getting.
What they're getting is just being told not to do something, right? Like, hey, if you feel like you're going to do something a little wild, take 10 seconds. And that's a tool. That's a huge tool. If someone can hold back for 10 seconds, you'll usually change your mind. But what they're not getting is, how can I feel okay about the things that go wrong in my life? How can I go up to someone who hurt my feelings and tell them they hurt my feelings and try to resolve that? How can I be self-aware and learn when I've hurt someone's feelings, be okay with that, resolve that in myself, and be able to say I'm sorry?
How do we start to identify emotions? And not just identify them, but talk about them in a meaningful, productive way. We could all use these tools. When I asked Gabe if I could see what this actually looked like, she sent me to sit in on a workshop with some local fifth graders.
It's a little more complicated than iMessage.
When I got to the center in River West, there were a group of about 20 kids sitting huddled around two facilitators and a whiteboard. The board had words on it and tools that the students had been learning all day. Things like box breathing, getting outside for a short walk, the three C's, communication, cooperation, and compromise, and using iMessages to express hurt and then give a full apology. Here's how that goes. Two students stand in front of the class. The first student uses an iMessage to share how something the other student did to them made them feel. I feel blank when blank. And then they seek resolution. I want blank.
I feel sad when you said I have no friends and no family. I want you to say sorry.
The second student listens, ideally without getting defensive, and uses the rephrase technique to show that they've listened. Are you saying blank and feel this sort of way?
Are you saying that you feel sad when I said that you have no friends and no family?
Yes.
Finally, the last part of the exercise is to give a full apology, taking accountability for their actions and committing to do better.
I'm sorry that I said that you have no friends and no family.
In the class,
I'll think about my actions and words before I do them.
Oh, great work.
Very good.
There were a bunch of tools and role-playing shared today, and the kids were mostly receptive, if not a bit rambunctious, after a four-hour teach-in. Chelsea Munch is one of the facilitators, and we talked about the fact that, yes, there are hurt people in the city. Everyone has gone through something. But also, conflict is necessary for growth. And if that's true, we might just all be ripe to heal collectively.
It takes conflict for growth because we're not going to know what to say or do if we've never been in those situations. And I hope that not everybody has to go through every traumatic situation to get there. But just being able to talk about it, you know, like that person's not just a jerk. They just lost their mother or something like that where you're like, you have no idea what's going on with them. So let's give them a chance.
Chelsea doesn't see Milwaukee as a community of haters. Like Mia, our question asker, maybe online, but not in person. What she sees is people who might be in pain. I heard something similar when I asked someone else if we're a community of haters.
I said it's a community of hurters.
Walter Lanier is a pastor in Milwaukee and longtime community activist and lawyer.
My point there was that there's a lot of pain in the city. And there's pain from a deindustrialized city, a segregated city, a city with a long history of racist and oppressive structures, in that we are a function of the culture. And so if the culture directly or indirectly drives division or drives competition, then it's not so much that that's who we are inside our being, but that we're a function of the place in which we reside.
Simply put, people are products of their environment. And depending on race, socioeconomic background, family history, any one of us could be at risk of being a hater. And this hate doesn't stop with us. As we learned, it permeates to our family units and the blocks and neighborhoods we live in, ultimately to the city we call home. Walter says healing from our hurts means getting uncomfortable. Like with PLC, addressing conflict head on, something even he admits he's not great at. And if we do find a way to level up from a culture of hate, he thinks we could become a community of builders.
We have a ton of geniuses here, but we're such a divided because of the culture of the city. And if we can improve the culture of this city for all people and create spaces for people to lament, to share, to get their hurt off their chest and they heal, then there are opportunities for them to reconcile and to become whole and to become their best selves. And after that, we can become our best community. And we have the capacity for that here in the city. And then we have the potential to be great. I really believe that.
From a community of haters to healed, I like that. And it's easy to point to the community as being, I don't know, an environment ripe for creating haters. But we've also got to own our stories, the ways we've wanted to see people fail or cringed at their successes. We have to recognize and change those patterns if we're going to see their wins as all of our wins. When I talked to Danita Graham, the therapist and counselor, she told me about how big of a hater she used to be, her family, her relationships, her job. But what she was doing was projecting her own hurt.
One day, I realized that I was the biggest hater in my life, and I wanted to do something different. And so I committed myself to becoming self-aware, self-loving, self-committed, and allowing that to guide me in how I navigated the outer world, the community. And it was through finding myself, it led me to the people, places, and things that loved me out of hater nation. And into truly loving myself and loving who I could be, loving myself enough to put myself in healthy, beautiful spaces, understanding that I am deserving of friendships and relationships that see the greatness in me and assume good intent. Then I committed to the work to make these relationships work. I committed to the work to ensure that I stayed true to who I am, who I found myself to be, regardless of how uncomfortable it made the world around me. Above all else, first, love yourself.
So, is Milwaukee a community of haters? Maybe herders is more like it. But we have the soil, the people, and the tools to do better.
Support for Bubbler Talk comes from Palermo's Pizza and Educators Credit Union. What have you always wanted to know about the Milwaukee area? Visit wuwm.com/bubblertalk to submit your question.
Her people, just a cycle of love. Her people, her people.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.